Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
But today I'm going to go in a little bit of a different angle. I'm going to dissect a portion of scripture that I feel God wants to challenge us with. So if you've got your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 15. That's Romans chapter 15. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. If you don't have your Bible, you just follow me on the screen, that's fine. It says in Romans chapter 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our own instruction. That through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may live, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Father, we thank you that this is your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings us to life. And Father, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit will begin to illuminate Scripture as we delve into it, Lord. We pray your anointing upon your word. Lord, speak to our lives, speak into our lives, Lord. Let your word be like a two-edged sword, sharper than that, Lord God. And begin to do surgery on our hearts with your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you better get ready for this word, because it's going to come at you. God, it's one of those ones. It's one of those ones. All right. Let me just briefly just talk about what we got up to while we're in Manila. Of course, Norman Easter talked about the mission trip that we did with Real Life Foundation. The second week we were there, we were at APEC, which is the Asian Pastors Equipping Conference. We had missionaries and pastors and leaders from churches as far as Christ Church in the south all the way to like the Middle East. And so all of these... Oh, actually we had some people from South Africa there as well.
Woo!
Yeah. Lekker. Yeah, so we had people, especially Asian Pastors Equipment Conference, we had people from all over the place, even America, come over. And it was a fantastic time, just like a big family reunion. At the end of it, on the Saturday, I had the opportunity to teach at our worship summit for our victory churches in the Philippines. So there were over 1,200 worship leaders, 1,200 plus worship leaders, just worship people from as far south as southern part of Mindanao all the way to northern Luzon. And they all traveled far and wide, boats and planes, to get there just for half a day of equipping to come listen to some big Samoan guy teach about worship. And I was just really blown away by their passion to want to come and learn. And I was talking to the team there. We gotta focus on equipping more, because as we plant churches, we're gonna need worship leaders and we're gonna need worship teams. So I'm blessed by what God is doing with regards to worship and our movement. If you haven't heard, I mentioned it last week in the video that we released new albums from our Victory Worship team. So Victory in the Philippines released an album called Rise High. And then last week, my old worship team in Singapore released an album called Momentum. They're both available on iTunes. So try and support and get behind Every Nation Worship, because there's a lot of great music that's coming out of our movement. And a lot of it reflects the DNA of what we're all about. So that was that. And then this was at APEC. I got to lead worship with... I was just really blessed because it was all Filipinos and they invited me to come and sing with them. But it was a multi-generation... They had like... the Now Generation, which was the Victory Worship team, lead the first day. And then the second day, they had the Next Generation, which was all like youth. And then that day, they called it Every Generation. And then they invited me to come. So I didn't know how to feel. Like, I was honored that I was the only Filipino, non-Filipino, that kind of looked like a Filipino that was a part of any of the worship teams. Because everyone on the worship team was like Filipino, and they considered me like a, kuya, so I went up there. And it was multi-generational. It was everybody else and me and Pastor Joel Barrios representing for that generation. You know, so I was like, how do you feel? They said it's multi-generational, and what generation are you, bro? So we're a church that is very much invested in this generation and the next generation. And so you'll hear about campus ministry, you'll hear about young people and God wanting to reach young people. And we unashamedly will, you know, put young people at the forefront of everything that we do. I understand, look, I just turned 40. A lot of you were there at the celebration. God's repositioning me to the point where I'm actually really enjoying supporting this generation. And a lot more of my edification actually comes from blessing and helping to equip and release this generation and the next generation. So, you know, and let me just say this, you know, when I look at the campus ministry, I don't consider them the next generation. I don't consider you the next generation. You're the now generation. And it's our job to give them all that they need to take the gospel to their world. I'll get into this in just a moment, a little bit more. But this is me with an A team. I don't know what Alex is trying to do there. This is us on the train actually getting ready to go to the airport. They flew through Singapore, so I fed them, prayed for them, and put them on the plane and sent them to India. And Samantha was, you know, it was funny. She was like, oh, you know, this train is too fast. And I said, oh, well, wait until you get to India. You're going to experience the real train when you get there. But continue to pray for them. They're in Mumbai this weekend, and then they'll close up their trip and be back next week. And then lastly, I just wanted to touch on this. Both in the Philippines and in Singapore, on the Singapore iTunes chart. But in the Philippines, when we released Rise Heart, it went to number one on the secular chart. And in Singapore, we released ENCS Music's Momentum, and it went to number one on the iTunes chart as well. So we're celebrating. Actually, number three is a guy named Josh Yeo, who's also a good friend of mine. He's another worship pastor there in the city. See, even above Hillsong. God bless Hillsong, right? God bless Hillsong. We're thankful for their ministry. But, you know, like for us to be number one on iTunes, it was an amazing gift, you know, that God's put our platform there. And this is where I wanted to go with it. See, because I've been talking about this multi-generational thing. And I wanted to kind of preach at every generation so you begin to understand the heart of God with all of this. Now, I could easily look at this, and some of you who follow me on Instagram, I actually reposted this picture of the iTunes chart. And I could have looked at it in one of two ways. Here's the way I could have looked at it. The first one was the way that I looked at it. I was actually really celebrating that our worship ministry had reached number one on iTunes. And, you know, I was really blessed to be there when it happened, when we released the album last week. But then the other way that I pictured that it could have been, and I didn't feel this way, okay, just to be completely honest, was, how come we never went to number one when I was leading the team? We didn't even get to number 100 when I was leading the team. And now I leave, and then they get to number one. How come I don't get to be number one? You know what I'm saying? You know, kind of like the uncles that were probably watching the All Blacks game and thought they could correct the play of the... I shouldn't put Sonny Bill on until like 60 minutes. Why did I put him on the halftime? You know, they try to adjust the play. None of you are like that. Or maybe some of, you know, might be Noy uncles, might be like watching the NBA or PBA, right? And you're just like, oh, you know, maybe he shouldn't have made this adjustment. They're couch coaches. None of you guys, right? None of you guys. But I began to think, you know, how easy it is for us to slip into that mentality if we don't celebrate what God is doing in this generation. I was, interestingly enough, I was with Nazareth. Nazareth and I are the nerds in our family. We unashamedly geeks, man. We are straight up nerds. We love it. We're proud of it. We're sitting there, and Nazareth and I love to watch this show called Brain Games. It comes on National Geographic Channel. They did this episode on sound. And they played, at the beginning of the show, they played these frequencies. Can you hear this frequency? Put your hand up. And then there was a frequency where she heard it, and I couldn't hear it. And the guy that was commentating, is that a word? Commentating the show. He said, if you can't hear the sound, chances are you are over the age of 30. Mr. Hostman. Ezra's like, but God began to show me this, that actually I need to understand, even as a musician, that I don't necessarily have an ear inclined towards the sound of this generation. As a musician, I have to learn the sound of this generation. I don't know if any of you people over the age of 30 have made this statement. And if you've made this statement is a sign that you're getting old. And the statement is, they don't make songs like they used to. Anybody guilty in here? Where's the melody? I don't sing all this song. How come all the rappers? You're old. It's not your turn. You had your turn. It's time to hand it to the next generation. I understand that fully. I understand that, you know, this is my time. This is all of our time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that for those of us who are over the age of 30 or over the age of 40, that God has given up on you and you need to, you know, like give up and let this generation go. No, there's a different role for you to play. Okay, you've shifted from younger brother to older brother to now the father. And in Tagalog, your role as Tito's still gonna become Lolo, right? Your role as father is gonna be, you know, there's a difference between daddy and tama, right? In Samoan, like when you become tama, that usually means that you're a grandfather. Like even though it means father, but when you call somebody affectionately tama or Lolo, that means you're older. You're older, right? And so we that doesn't mean that give up on life. It just means your role is different. Your role is different now. And there's nothing worse than those Christians who find themselves in a midlife crisis, not understanding their role. They still think, you know, like a 50-year-old youth pastor who wears his hat backwards and, yo, yo, how's it going, yo? There's a different role for you, uncle. With the program. And so for all you youngsters, I can't stand it when, you know, you got people like at the age of 12 acting like they want to be 40. Right? Trying to dress like they're 40. Don't do it. Don't rush. God's got you in a season now, and God wants you to thrive right where you are. And here's where we're going with it. Let's go back to that scripture. I'm going to actually read this from the Message translation. Those of us who are strong and able in faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Everybody say this. Strength is for service.
Strength is for service.
Not status. Say that one more time. Strength is for service.
Not status.
Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? This is the title of my message. Strength is for service. Not status. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, strength is for service, not status. Okay? God has given you particular strengths in your life for service, not status. What does that mean? The strengths and the gifts that you have are to serve other people, not to prop you up on a platform. You see, a lot of us, and you've heard me talk about this before, a lot of us think that our destiny is shaped by our gifts. No, the way God wants us to utilize our gifts is just to step out and serve. But I don't think I'm gifted in that way. No, just step out with what you have. It's amazing how God will reshape your gifts to meet that platform that He has given you. I mean, I just moved here 14, 15 months ago. I don't know if I had what it takes to be a senior pastor for all of you, but I just stepped out in faith, and I thank God that I have what God has given me in terms of gifts to be able to lead you well. And I, trust me, it was because the Holy Spirit met me here when I heard His call and just stepped out, and now I'm in it. And it's amazing how many times He's done that. When I became a lead pastor of a location in Singapore, when I became the worship pastor of one location, then two locations, then three locations in Singapore, when I was just a musician, and then I became a worship leader, and then I learned how to make albums and all of this sort of stuff. Every time you just step out and God says, I'm calling you to this step, just step out. And you just step out, like the song we said, Spirit lead me wherever, trust is without borders, let me walk upon the water, wherever you call me. If you just step out, it's amazing how his gifts meet you right where your calling is. But too many of us don't step out because we feel like, oh, I'm not ready for it yet. I'm not gifted for it yet. Let me tell you, you'll never step out there. And you'll be, you know, like that person that hears the voice of the devil saying, I'm too young. I'm too young, 28 years old. I'm too young, 29 years old. I'm too young, 30 years old. I'm too old, 31 years old. You know, like one, the space of one day that I get the tipping point, right? And you were never the right age. You'll never be the right age to do what God's called you to do. Just step out. The strength that God has given you is for service, not for status. And the reason why he wants you to step out is to serve. It's always to serve. It's never for your benefit to elevate you on some form of platform. God always trusts those who serve. And the more you want to lead in the kingdom of God, the more you need to understand God's heart of servitude. God always promotes those who have a heart to just want to step out and serve. And that's why he always says, those who are humble, who humble themselves, will be exalted. And those who exalt themselves will be humbled. There are a lot of people that end up using the kingdom of God to try and build their own empires. And then in that status, they build up for themselves platforms. And God is in the business of crushing down idols. He doesn't want any. He is a jealous God. Now, what do you mean? Oh, well, he's jealous. How can we be jealous? He's God. No, there is a good side of jealousy, which abhors idolatry. Imagine this. Like, I go home, and some guy is in there at my house. Like, I just get back yesterday from Singapore, and I walk into my house, and some guy is in there trying to play the role of daddy to my kids and husband to my wife. You don't think I'd be jealous? Walking into my home seeing that? Of course. I'm going to start me a prison ministry when I walk up the door. I would not be a father because my job as a father and a husband is to protect. And God is the same way. He is a jealous God. He does not want any of the idols taking his place in the home of your heart. Are you with me today? That's why the Bible says that he is a jealous God. He hates idolatry. You shall have no other gods before me. It's the first commandment and the commandment on which every other commandment that follows rides on. But the reason why he positions us with certain strengths is to serve. It's always to serve. Strength is for service, not for status. Let's break this down a little bit more. I'm going to give you three aspects of the strength and how he strengthens us to serve. Let me just talk about this really quickly, because this is a couple of true life examples, at least from the media. These are the best actress nominees from last year's Oscars. And one of my favorite parts, and usually it's when the best actress award comes, because the actors, you know, they're kind of mellow, but the actresses, or the supporting actresses, when they announce the nominees, and they're about to announce the winner, they have the five squares that have five different cameras focused in on the nominees when they make the announcement, right? And usually they know, okay, if it's Meryl Streep, gets nominated, because she's been nominated like 19 times, chances are we're doomed. So there's these five actresses. And then they say, and the winner last year was Julianne Moore. She won it last year. But, you know, every year I like to watch the reaction of the four other actresses. Have you ever watched the Oscars? And the winner is Julianne Moore. Because they know... Because they know the camera is on them, so they have to give a better performance in that moment than the actual movie that they got nominated for, right? God bless her, her family, I know where you live. Yes. Wish your head was between my legs. I'm clapping. Or even worse, like, what about this? Like, this universe, right? And the winner is Miss Venezuela. Look at Miss Philippines. She's squeezing extra hard on the hand down there. Venezuela? You say Venezuela? Strength is for service, not for status. I'm getting to the point. Here's the point, guys. Oh, did you see this? Did you see this?
Yeah.
I loved how Sunnyville, like, and Sunnyville's not even a Christian. He's a Muslim. Very rare, Samoan Muslim. But he gave his medal. After winning the World Cup, he gave his medal to this guy. This young guy was actually born in Singapore. Here's a a fan who ran out onto the field and got tackled by the security. It was quite funny, actually. Ride that back, ride that back. Slow motion. Boom. And then Sonny Bill gave him his medal. I've actually been really blessed by Sonny Bill's attitude, you know, in the media, giving the medal away and helping the South African guy when he was crying, you know, come here, get a hug, it's okay. That's what we need to do, you know, for South Africans and sensitive thugs, they all need hugs. But here he is, you know, using the strength in that moment to actually be a blessing. And say what you want to say, but I mean, in that moment, he was a blessing. I was actually surprised that he walked away. I thought he was just putting it on him, take the picture, now, give him that money. But he actually put it on him and said, no, you keep it. I think when we learn to live that way and model generosity and service to other people with our lives, we actually find the true reason why God has us living. How many of you have noticed you battle anxiety a lot more when you are focused on yourself? But when you learn to serve others, it's amazing how anxiety seems to slip away. Or you're at least concerned about the right things. Like, how can we get more resources to help these people? But your heart is not as torn up or wrenched when you are thinking a lot about yourself. How many of you are with me? Like, you find that you are in a position where you're less anxious when you are concerned, when your life and your strength is utilized for others, because that's the way God designed you to live. Here we go, three points I'm getting to. First of all, he wants to give us the strength to tear the roof off for others. Now, go to back to Romans, it says here, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, he's given us strength to help others. Many of you remember in the Gospels, there is the encounter where four friends take their lame friend and they get to this house where Jesus is speaking. How many of you remember that? And when they get to the house where Jesus is speaking, what happens? It's packed. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you as friends to this lame man would, number one, not firstly have taken them to that place? They would have, you would have been like, oh, you're sick? Oh, let's pray you find a way to Jesus. Pray like Japanese car brands, so they Honda, you know. But no, you actually are the answer to your prayer. You actually get a mat and you carry him to the bed. How many of you would actually do that? And then, secondly, when you see that the house is packed, would have gone, oh, they're all the best, mate, and just walked away. But these guys, when they saw the house was packed all around, they were the sort of friends that would tear the roof off guys. And this is what God wants us to be like creative in the way that we will not relent in seeing the miracle happen for other people and helping other people get to Jesus. And serving others and serving their friend, they could have easily just walked up to the place that was packed and gone, oh, we'll pray for you. Yeah, all the best. Hopefully somebody, and just call to one of the friends. Call to somebody. Hopefully they have a heart for you and get you inside. No, these guys climbed on the roof. I don't know how they did it. The Bible is not clear on how they did it. Like, they climbed the roof, tore the roof off. Okay, when you are desperate to get help for other people, there's no room for manners. They didn't ask, oh, you got insurance for this, mate? Because we're going to damage your roof. No, they tore the roof off. And then lowered their friend down. I have no idea how they got the friend up. That takes strength. That takes strategy. But they took the time. Okay? It was not a matter of moments. It would have taken some actual time to get on there. So they would have been ridiculed by people around them taking the roof off. They were not interested in, you know, oh, okay, maybe we might get arrested for this. And I'm not saying you should do anything that would get you arrested. But what I am saying is, have you gone the extra mile to serve others? Or are you the sort of friend that will, number one, leave them at home and just pray for them? Or number two, you actually take them as far as you think you can go and leave them at the door? Or are you the sort of tear the roof off strength people who actually get on the roof and tear the roof off and help lower them down towards their miracle, towards encountering Jesus Christ? That's the sort of friends we need to be. God has given you strength to help others, but sometimes we do the bare minimum. I'll pray for you. And don't even pray. It's a nice religious way to just say, oh, just get out of my face. Or I just want to end this conversation so I can move on with the rest of my life and pretend to care. Some of us don't even take the time, if we're serious, to say, oh, we'll pray for you, to actually pray right there with them, with the person that needs the help, if you're serious about praying for them. Sometimes, you know, we're the answer to that prayer. And God impresses on us. Let me tell you a secret of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to like this, but you're responsible for what you know now. When you're wrestling with the voice of the Lord, when the voice says give, the devil never says give. He always says take. That's a big clue that it's gone. I want you to give that person $100. Oh, I rebuke you, devil. Like, he would never say give money. The devil will never say give. You know, he's always, most of the time, he's that secondary voice. You hear the first voice, give $100. You got $5 in the corner. You may want to give that. You know, precious. Usually that voice is either the voice of your own flesh or the enemy. That secondary voice. Oh, none of you hear that voice, eh? But you know what I'm saying? Like, God wants us to be the sort of people that tear the roof off for others. Like, go the extra mile for others, serving others. That strength that he's given you is for service, not for status. See, status would say, oh, I don't know what people will think of me if I start climbing on the roof. Where service says, I am not going to relent until this person meets Jesus. And for those of, you know, those of you who have heard other people talk about people that used to be in church and now are no longer in church and call them lost causes, oh, that irks me, man. Because I was a lost cause too. Newsflash, you were as well. But when other people thought they could give up on you, Jesus still, in the way that he served you, tore the roof off so that you could meet him. He tore the veil so that the presence of God can be experienced for all of us here. Secondly, our strength to celebrate others' success. And I've just gone through that. You know, I've just talked about that. Like, strength that comes from God helps you to celebrate other people's success. You know, when you see other people walking in what God has called you to do, but they do it better than you, and yet you have the opportunity to help them, do you celebrate with them, or do you try to tear them down? Do you speak well of them? Let me tell you, you know, I'm just coming back from Singapore. I had three primary roles in my job there. I was the creative pastor, the worship pastor, and I was an associate pastor, but I was also the pastor of one of the locations. We have three locations in Singapore. All of those positions, I had to hand off different leaders, and praise God, you know, that we're in a church that really values discipleship. So we had people in place that I was able to release my jobs to quite easily. With all of them, I mean, you saw the iTunes chart. Hello. They're all like positioned differently, and they're doing things different to match their leadership gift and their leadership style. But they've run so much further than where God had me take it. Now, I could be in one or two places. I could shut them down and go, well, you're not doing it Nelly style. Whatever Nelly style is, or Bug Nelly style, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, their style is completely different to mine. And who am I to try to impose my style of ministry on somebody that I had the opportunity to equip and release and empower? And if I got all caught up in it to the point where, you know, well, you shouldn't do it that way. Well, then I'm not making disciples, I'm making clones. And God has commanded us to make disciples. I'm really excited for our church, for the people that call this place home, to be fully released in everything that God has for you. And it doesn't need to look like this. It doesn't need to look like me. But as long as you buy into the vision and the values of what God has here, things like discipleship, things like worship and lordship, things like, you know, campus ministry and planting churches, if you buy into the heart of our multicultural church, a church that looks a lot more like heaven than just one mono-ethnic church, because this is the way God's called us to walk, then I'm here to tell you today that I will be most excited when you find your place in this house and thrive and run in it. There are pastors in this room today that aren't yet pastors. There are missionaries that are in this room today that aren't yet missionaries. But who am I to come in? Well, you're not going to be a pastor or a missionary until I'm fully... You're here, you exist to prop up the pastor. And some of us came up in leadership like that. I'm here to tell you today, that's not Christ-centered leadership. That's not the way Christ taught us to lead. I'm here to serve you. not the other way around. You serve the house. You don't serve me. You serve the house. You serve Every Nation Brisbane, and through your service to this house, you serve Christ. And my heart as your pastor is to serve you as much as I can, release you as much as I can in the calling that God has given you to walk out in. Strength to celebrate with others. Strength to celebrate others' success. Let me just go back to that verse. It says here, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself. Last point is strength to make others welcome. Strength to make others welcome. This is my last point. We're going to close here. I want you to turn to somebody really quickly and just tell them, you're welcome to sit next to me. You're welcome and blessed to sit next to me. Here's the final point. Many of you, if you've got a Bible, you can go and study Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is where I want to close today. It's actually when Jesus, we'll read this verse in just a moment. It's when Jesus goes into the house of Martha and meets Martha and Mary. Romans 15, verse 7, says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You remember this? Jesus went to the house of Martha. Martha was the one who owned the house. Okay? In Luke chapter 10, it describes her as the house owner. And Martha is busy about the work of the house. She is cleaning, she is doing the washing, she is vacuuming, she is preparing the meal. And Mary, her little sister, sits at her feet, the feet of Jesus, while she is busy. Yet, she is not busy to the point where she actually finds time to turn to Jesus and complain. Okay? Look, if you're really busy, you don't have time to complain. But when you're busy trying to achieve the attention of Jesus through your busyness, again, coming from Southeast Asia, okay, having lived there for the last 8 years, and then going back to Singapore, and it's this way, and for those of you who are from, like, I know I've got David who's from Malaysia, and I've got a lot of Pinoys here, we've got other people here from Southeast Asia. How many of you know it's easy to celebrate stress? I'm more stressed than you. Oh, yeah? Well, I work 25 hours a day. Well, I had a heart attack, and then I brought myself back to life. I've got more headlines than the news, you know, like celebrating stress. It's so funny, like, when we're out there, it's like against the law to say, I'm not busy. Like if you're in the Philippines, you say, oh, what have you been up to? Oh, I'm not busy, just nothing. They think you're crazy. Especially if you're in Manila. No, I mean, the provinces probably, but like Manila, and you say, oh, I'm not busy, done nothing for the last 3 days. They will think, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you in a hospital or something? Because we celebrate how stressed out and how busy we are. And this is the thing, this is Martha. Like she's like, Jesus, don't you see I'm busy doing many works? And here she is, this little mossy sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it's not to tell her, because I can't tell her myself. You tell her, even though you can hear me, and she's right at your feet, and she apparently can't hear me because maybe the frequency is too high. But tell her to come and help me. That's what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says to her. He says, Martha, Martha. He says her name twice. Why? You remember what I taught before? Like, if you don't know somebody, to get their attention, you have to say their name twice. Not familiar with the voice. Familiar with the works of the house, but not familiar with the Lord of the house. And you may own the house, but God owns you. Amen. And at that time, she should have been sitting at his feet. Look, if you're really prepared, right? Like, if you're really prepared for the visitor who just so happens to be the King of Kings, you should have had your stuff ready before he came over, right? I'm just saying. Like, if you're prepared for visitors, like, by the time the visitor comes, especially when it's Jesus, like, you should be at that time sitting at his feet. But hello, somebody wants to be seen busy. Somebody wants to be seen using their strength for status. Martha, Martha, you are busy about in many things. You're worried about many things. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the right portion. See, Jesus understood And that's why he uses the word portion, because she was preparing a portion in her kitchen when the right portion was to receive the food from the Lord, which was the feeding from Jesus, who happens to be the Lord of hosts. You want to know how to host? You follow Jesus' example. Sit down. S-A-D-D-O-U-N. Sat down. Sat down on the floor and listen to Jesus. Now, a lot of people go, well, you know, that means you just sit down for the rest of your life and don't do anything past. No. When you're seated at his feet, you've got to understand those feet go somewhere afterwards. But you remain in a position of rest around his feet. Wherever his feet take you, you rest in the fact that he is the one guiding you, because wherever those feet go, you're resting. Strength is for service, not for status. And so you know the ebbs and flows of the Holy Spirit because you know how to rest at his feet. And everything, every aspect of your life comes from this position of rest. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise with wings like what?
Eagles.
Okay, not chickens. Eagles. They will rise with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. The eagle is the most mentioned bird in the Bible when it's giving an analogy for us as followers of God. There are three primary aspects about the eagle that God is highlighting by his Holy Spirit for us today. Number one, they renew their strength. How do they renew their strength? There's a shedding of feathers that happens. Like eagles have to shed feathers so that they can glide more efficiently. And new feathers grow. God is, for some of us in this room, God is shedding feathers. And I'm not talking about people. I'm just talking about the way you've done things in the past. God can't pour new wine into an old wineskin and just patch it up. God wants to give you new wine in new wineskins. And wineskin is the capacity that you have to be able to carry what he's pouring out. And so God is shedding a lot of the old feathers, the old structures, the old ways that you used to do things. Some of us want to, you know, God, I want to be more passionate for you. Well, you need to change the strategy that you've had that passion before. Some of you need to wake up earlier. That's the shedding of your old feathers. You need to stop sleeping 10 hours a day and actually cut it down so that you can actually get time with God and press into his presence. Shed the old feathers. Shed the old ways that you used to do things. Secondly, eagles have meticulous vision. They are able to see a license plate, numbers and letters from over a mile away. That's how strong the sense of vision is amongst an eagle. And so God wants us to, when you're in a position like an eagle, you're able to see things the way God sees them. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places. So there's a heavenly perspective that God wants to give us if we'll learn to minister out of his strength for service, not for status. Last thing about eagles is that eagles don't need to flap. Chickens flap. And take that from somebody who comes from a country whose national bird can't even fly. Can't even get off the ground. Comes out at night, can't even see. And that's our national bird. Thanks a lot, New Zealand. But the eagle, I love the eagle, right? The eagle has this capacity with its vision and with its feathers all shed and renewed to be able to read wind patterns and soar. What's the difference between soaring and flapping? Flapping is in your own strength. Soaring reads the patterns of the wind and adjusts the wingspan in accordance with the flow of the wind. So if the wind begins to flow this way, it adjusts its wingspan so it can ride off the power of the wind in the new direction. What is the wind in the Bible? The wind is the Holy Spirit. And so God is saying to us today, my brothers and sisters, that the strength that he's given for you is not to flap around for status, but to soar with service. When you begin to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to know that he leads you to help other people. You're wondering why your life is not as fulfilled as it should be. It's because God wants you to learn how to serve the way he serves. There's a few ways you can serve. You can serve in this house. You can serve in the community. You can serve your family. Some of you have relatives that are not saved, that don't know Christ. And as great as any sermon that you can preach to them, the greatest sermon that you can give is your service to them. Serve the hell out of your family. I'm saying that literally. That there's no place for a heavenly perspective in a place that's been invaded by hell. You serve the hell out of your family. Let the presence of God fill your sermon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.